Okay, so good evening, everyone. And I remember some years ago, and there was a famous monk, and he renounced. And someone asked him that we have lots of scriptures, you know, all the teaching, the Buddha's teaching. So can you summarize all the Buddha's teaching? You know, just to summarize, right? It's all the teaching is about the Buddha's teaching. It's all about, and he gave a very good summary. Is that the teaching of the Buddha is just that to know who you are and reframe yourself from unwholesome, purify your mind, cultivate good and purify your mind. This is the teaching of all the Buddhas. So that's why sometimes when we talk about to know yourself, do we really know ourselves? Sometimes we think we know, isn't it? We think that when we said, of course I understand myself. How come I don't understand myself, you know? Do you really understand yourself? We don't, isn't it? It's just like in the Dhammapada, the Buddha said, you know, he said, if a man, you know, conquer 1,000 times better than 1,000 men, you know, if another man conquered that himself, you know, he is the greatest conqueror. So actually, to be able to understand oneself is the hardest thing than hard to do, because it's so close, isn't it? We be able to see other people's mistakes so easily, you know, but we don't see ours. Sometimes it's very strange, you know. Sometimes people come to me complain about the other person, you know, and oh, this person, this and that. Actually, they are also doing the same thing, you know. They think only other people doing it. They're doing the same thing too, you know, because we can't see ourselves, you know. And we think that only other people doing it, you know. Actually, we don't see, because it's too close. Because we attach to the idea, like who we think we are, the identity of ourselves is all our concept. You know, we attach to this identity. We attach to the idea of who we are, and then we try to live up to the idea of who we are. We think that we are kind, we are compassionate, we are helpful, whatever, you know, identity that you think you are. You know, we try to live up to that, you know. It's just like we're putting on layers and layers and layers of clothes, you know. Then we pretend that we are someone else, but actually we are not, you know. Maybe, and we constantly, we run away from ourselves. It's very difficult to truly face ourselves, to look into ourselves. And to be honest to oneself, actually is the hardest thing to do. And because why we've been, you know, why are we doing that? Because of we've been... You know, the moment we born, you know, we've been constantly, you know, conditioned. We've been conditioned. And then, you know, and then we identify all the experience that as me, we think that we own it. This is me. This is mine. We think the feeling is mine. You know, we identify a body as this is my body. This is me. The sense of self, the ego, this is me. And then we try very hard, you know. We think that we can manipulate. We think that we can, you know, make the body the way that we want it, isn't it? Sometimes we spend so much time to look after our body. We think that we can control. You can't. Just now we've been saying, you know, before the talk, you said, oh, you know, growing old, you know. I said, yeah, something that whether you like it or not, you grow old, you know. And so as we grow, you know, get older, you know, the three things happen. First thing, your memory goes. I can't remember the other two. Yeah, this is how it is, whether you like it or not, you know, but constantly we are fighting, we don't make peace with that, we don't recognize that it's okay, this is part of life, you know, getting old, growing old. And sometimes we spend so much time, you know, identify, you know, our experience, we are not accepting. That is part of nature, part of body. This is the body, you know. Then we try to, you know, we create lots of, you know, our ideas of how we should be. And we try to control, we try to manufacture, we try to create, you know, the feelings that we want, the pleasant feelings, you know. And then we even though, you know, it seems that, you know, like, I mean, theoretically, yes, everybody say, yes, I'm going to grow old, I will die. But how many of you really think that you will die? None, isn't it? I mean, in theory, yes, you know, I know for my mother, you know, like for my mother, you know, when my mother passed away, you know, she passed away at the age of 76. And I never thought my mother would die, you know what I mean? So, like some other people, you know, it's never hit home, and some other people say, oh, you know, so, oh, my parents passed away, or my, you know, or my grandma passed away, or how, oh, okay, 80 or something, oh, good age, you know. And then you think that other people, parents or other people, you know, that they're old enough to die, but it's hit home. If your own parents, you know, they live up to 100, you think that they're still too young to die, isn't it? It's just like it's on the, I mean, what we understand that, you know, on the theoretical level is one thing. What we truly be able to accept that, to be able to really acknowledge that, is another thing. Is very difficult, you know. So that's why sometimes how we identify our body as, this is me, this is mine. We think that we own it. You know, this is myself, you know. That's why when the Buddha's teaching of non-self, it's not that someone will argue, I'm here, I can feel it, I have feelings, you know. How come you say I have non-self? Actually, it's not that you're not there. It's just that we misinterpret that we own this body, we own our feelings, we own our experience. So this is we think that we own our body, we own our feelings, you know. Because when we have this body, we have contact, isn't it? We have the sense base, so we have contact, feeling arises. When feeling arises, they're either pleasant or unpleasant. And then we normally will get stuck, you know, that we attach, we think that we own the present, pleasant feelings or unpleasant feelings. We think that we are that. For example, when we feel agitated, we think that I am agitated. When we are angry, we think that I am angry. You know, so whatever feelings, whatever emotion that we experience, actually, the Buddha said, why the Buddha said it's non-self? Because it comes and goes. It's not something that you own. It's something that is a stay. It won't stay. That's why I keep telling people not to worry about any defilements, any unpleasant feelings, because it won't stay. It comes and goes. You know, sometimes we reinforce and we identify the feelings, you know, the experience, you know, as me and mine. And then sometimes we manifest, we create that. We keep reinforcing it, you know. Like, for example, sometimes, you know, like when we have context, feeling arises. Okay, if unpleasant, we don't like it. We think about it, and then we started to get upset, to get angry with that, isn't it? So when we do that, we reinforce that feelings, and then we create, you know, this is the perception we perceive. Our perception is subject to, you know, perverted by our likes and dislikes. Then we have this unpleasant, we don't like it. And then we start to labor. This is how we labor, you know. And this, we have this identity, we try to labor ourselves with our experience, that this is me, and this is belongs to me. And the more you keep thinking about it, actually you reinforce the feelings. And the next time, then this is how you started to, you know, from with the body, with this sense base, you have context and feelings arises, and the feelings itself, you know, that we perverted by our, you know, likes and dislikes when we don't, you know, then we start to think about it, that mental formation, we keep thinking about it, oh, it's how bad, how good, you know. It's just like the Buddha said, we think who we are, you know, we create our own world. It's through our thoughts, you know, we keep thinking about it. Actually, you can manifest it, and then you feel, we make it worse. You know, the more you think about it, you know, sometimes even, you know, in the monastery, when I hear someone having tics, I started to feel itchy. Isn't it? Someone that is like, oh, actually, psychologically, sometimes, you know, that you think about, actually, we reinforce that, you make it really strong, you know, you make it, and because then next time when you're in the same, you into your, and then you have that fixed idea of who we are, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, the identity, we start to labor. And nowadays, you know, people like to labor themselves, you know, and just, recently, not long ago, someone said to me, oh, this person said to me that I've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I've had Alzheimer's. Then I told this person, yes, I said you have Alzheimer's, but you don't have to live up to that. Because you know how people have this diagnosis when they diagnose with OCD, you know, and then they will start to look at all the symptoms, you know, and then they start to think about it, isn't it? And then they think that I have to live up to this, you know. No, I said you don't have to. I said learn to make peace with that. Learn to make peace with whatever you experience right now. So because this is whatever we experience is come and go, it won't stay. You know, the problem is we not be able to accept that because we have a fixed view, because of the feelings, perception, how we perceive it. You know, the way we perceive. You know, and then it go into that our we thinking about it. Then we have a views. You know, we develop a fixed view, a certain fixed views about who we are, the identity, you know, the whole lots of things, you know, the whole lots of ideas, you know, about ourselves. And we create that image, we create the identity of ourselves into our stream of consciousness. So in the next time, this is how we keep repeatedly, you know, we keep reinforce that, and then we intensify that feelings, we intensify that, and then we make it, you know, we manifest that, we create that. You know, and sometimes, like, you know, I remember many some years ago, we have one of the supporters that she shared her experience with me that how she comes to Buddhism. She is a very tense person, and then she had lots of bodily pain, and she went for all the body checkup, you know, medical checkup her body, and they can't find the reason why she has nothing wrong with her, but she had lots of pain in her body. Then eventually they recommend her to see a psychiatrist. So and so happened that she met this psychiatrist is a Buddhist, and then they introduce her to meditation that relax her body because she's very tense. When you have, because especially if someone have lots of anxieties, you know, your body, you know, because your body tends up, you know, very tight. So because you're always in that mood, very tense and tight, and she has lots of bodily pain. And this is after she started to meditate, and then, you know, then she relaxed her body, and then it's gone. Because sometimes the mind create, you know, we manifest that, because sometimes we make it, yes, maybe there is a little bit of pain, but sometimes we keep thinking about it, we manifest, and we keep reinforce that, and we make it, becomes unbearable, the point that we can't bear, you know. Sometimes, isn't it, when we accept that, actually, you have less pain, isn't it? Sometimes you accept your pain, you have less pain. But the more you fight, the worse, you know. And recently, someone going through menopause, you know, they're all very emotional, I can't sleep. And then, the stress about can't sleep. The more you think that you cannot sleep, I can guarantee you definitely cannot sleep. Isn't it? Because she's so worried about not getting, you know, can't sleep. So then I tell this person, it's okay. If you can't sleep, never mind. Next day you still you still as normal, you know, because you keep thinking about it. You stress about you can't sleep. Isn't it? Sometimes the thing that the more you don't want it to happen, it comes more. Because we keep pushing it away, we try to suppress it. So that's why letting go actually is accepting, is letting go. Accepting who we are, accepting ourselves. It's not easy. I mean, easy to say and done. It's accepting oneself is not easy. Even accepting ourselves being getting old also is difficult. I remember there was a couple, old couple, been married many, many years, about over 30 over years, you know. And this old couple in their 70s. So one day the husband went to see the doctor. He said, I'm so worried about my wife, but because his hearing is getting worse and worse because he cannot hear me. Then the doctor said to him, maybe you just I don't know how serious, you know, the hearing, you know, your wife hearing, you know, I don't know how serious is it, you know. So maybe you go back and, you know, do some tests, you know. So you will stand a little bit further you talk to her, see whether she can hear you. So then he went back, the husband went back, and then he was then, the wife was in the kitchen cooking. Then he was then, you know, outside the kitchen and said, "Oh, honey, tonight dinner?" Then he said, "No response." So he go a bit closer. "That, honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he go even closer, you know. "What's for dinner, honey?" So no response. Then he go until close to at the back, you know, at the back of his ear. He said, "What's for dinner, honey?" So the wife turned around. "This is the third time, fried chicken." Sometimes we thought that other people have problem, isn't it? Sometimes we think that our problem is other people, you know. So we don't see that actually we are the... sometimes we don't see that. We think that our problem is coming from others. It's very difficult to see ourselves. And sometimes we think that... I remember someone said to me that see her, his friends, I haven't seen my friend. Oh, they grew so old already. Then they thought that the other person grew old. Then he said, sometimes I look into the mirror, "Oh, who is this person? I think they haven't recognized it." You know, sometimes this is how we very difficult to accept that, you know, to grow old, you know, to accept. We think that our problem is, that's why, because we don't see, we don't look in. We don't understand ourselves. We keep thinking that, you know, that our problem is come from outside. What when we suffer, we think that we will blame other people because they do this. When we got angry, we think that other people make me angry, you know. We got upset, other people make me upset. I upset because of you, because of that, because of that, this is that, you know. And this is how it is. So that naturally we unable to see that actually it's part of sometimes we contributing towards it. I remember someone said to me that, you know, that like the problem, like, you know, she said, like, you know, sometimes like how people you know, it's like sometimes people like constantly would like to ask her advice because she like to give people advice, but sometimes she has enough, she got fed up, she think that people, you know, that she feel like, you know, I have, when she has enough, you know, then she think that, "Oh, why everybody, you know, come like to ask me for advice, I have enough, you know." Then I said, "Actually, do you know that you're contributing towards that? Because you used to do that. That's why people come for you for advice, because you do that, but then when you have enough, then you get upset, you know." Actually, sometimes we don't see that we are part of that. And sometimes also, some husband or wife, they're complaining about their husband or their wife, their partners, you know. But I said, "Do you know that you're contributing to that? Sometimes, you know, you spoil them, you know. Then when you stop doing that, become a problem, you know." I have one of my nephews, you know, that he's really pampered. Because he married his wife when he was 40, the wife only 20. So that's why the wife like a princess, you know, really pampered, you know. So he will cook breakfast, he will do everything for the wife. The wife don't have to do anything. So when going anywhere, the husband is the one who pack everything. She just, "Okay, make up, go sit into the car," you know. Then now no turning back, and I told him, "Now no turning back." Because even now, don't do it, you know. You know, they say, "Oh, you don't love me anymore, you know, you have changed, you know." No, because I said, sometimes we contribute to us, that we, you know, sometimes we keep thinking that we have no responsibility. We do, we have responsibility. Sometimes we're part of that. I said, you don't spoil. Sometimes they themselves spoil, that the partner spoil the husband, you know, a wife, you know, and then they're complaining about, you know, them doing this and that. But so when you know, because we are part of, we are contributing to us, that we do have responsibility. But sometimes we keep thinking that no problem, you know, our suffering is come from others, you know. But if we keep thinking that our problem is out there, you will never resolve your problem. You can never solve your problem in life. Like we have someone also that used to say to me that, if my family, you know, when I go back, you know, and then my family sometimes they have gathering, you know, that they didn't inform me. I'm the one who been you know, being like, feel like outcast, you know, like, you know, they don't include me, excluded, being excluded. But why? You know, that sometimes we have to ask ourselves why, you know, that must be something that can't stand us, isn't it? Sometimes we think that we're so sweet, we're so good, you know, but sometimes, you know, if you try to listen to how people, sometimes how we think of ourselves is completely opposite to how people think of us, you know. Isn't it? Sometimes you think that we are sweetie pie, we are so nice, you know. So and one day you will listen to how people think of us and you know. And because this is our own creation, isn't it? We create all the image of how we are. But actually we are not, you know. To really look at oneself, to face ourselves is not easy. To be able to accept oneself is very difficult. So sometimes we think, that's why the Buddha said, you know, if you can conquer yourself, you are the greatest conqueror. It's not easy, you know, to overcome, because we think that our enemy out there, I can tell you, your enemy is not out there. It's yourself. You yourself is the biggest enemy. That to overcome that is very difficult. So that's why we keep thinking that our problem is outside, you know. And we think that we know ourselves, we don't. Because we keep, you know, pretend. We create that image, the identity of who we are. And then immediately if someone said something, you know, and then that maybe we feel that you're being criticized, you're being abused, you know, or I'm not this kind of person. Why they talk about me like that? I'm not like that. And you feel sorry for yourself. You know, because you think that, because we create that image and we try to live up to that image, when someone said that you are not, then your sense of self being challenged, isn't it? Then we feel offended. We try to defend our sense of self, you know, or I'm not like this, you know. How come you accuse me, you know, how come you criticize me, said that I'm this and that. This is only who you think you are. You create your own image, but people don't think that. You know, you might think that you are sweetie pie. People might think that you're a horrible person. You know, I mean, so this is how we just pretend. We don't want to look in there. Sometimes we actually deep down we do know, but we try to push it away. We pretend that it's not there. I remember the first time that. When I realized that, because I have that image, you know, that idea of who I am, you know, a kind person, helpful person. Then I realized that actually my kindness and compassion also, you know, come from that you want people to like you, you know. And actually I can tell you when I recognize that, I find it very difficult to accept. It's very difficult, you know. And then you try to give yourself all sorts of excuses, you know. Or you try to justify, you know, well, maybe this, maybe that, you know. You keep, you know, pushing it away. We don't want to admit that. It's very difficult to admit. That's why sometimes people come to me, oh, I have questions, you know, because too many people, I don't dare to ask you, because I have lots of jealousy. I say, so what? You know, because you're not enlightened. So yeah, you have jealousy. So you just okay, just to honest about that. You know, yes, I have jealousy. So you just look at it. So the practice is that we don't try to pretend that it's not that. We don't try to push it away. When we push it away, we're trying to suppress it. Actually, we reinforce that. Actually, the practice is we started to develop the qualities. Like for example, if you have a lot of jealousy, you develop some. You know, sympathetic joy, mudita, you know, feel happy, you know, bring up the joy. Whatever you do, you bring up the joy. So sometimes you cannot just get rid of it, you have to develop this quality. So it's just like you want to uproot a big tree, you know. You have to cut down all the, you have to weaken first your jealousy before you can uproot, isn't it? You have to cut all the branches, you know, the trunk slowly, only you can put up the whole tree. The same thing. So we have to develop this quality, it's counteract different. Slowly, you will weaken this, you know, and then slowly you will eliminate. You can't use willpower to force it, to push it, pretend that it's not there. That's why I remember Someone asked me a question, said, what is the most difficult things in monastic life? I said, the most difficult things in monastic life is that because when you become a monastic, you lose a sense of self, you know, because a lot of things you cannot control. You cannot control what you eat. And then, you know, you have to abide to all the rules, you know. You cannot choose like what you would like to do. Sometimes you ask to do things that you don't like it, you still have to do it because you have to abide to all these. And because of the sense of self, we want to manipulate because to show that I'm exist, you know. But to let that go, to let go of the sense of self is the most difficult thing. True, it's very difficult. It's not about, you know, because the way of life, you know, that I remember when I first joined the monastery, I remember my teacher told me that I don't care who you are. But, you know, I don't care who you are in the past. But when you come to the monastery, you are nobody. To become nobody is very difficult. To be somebody is easy, isn't it? It's very difficult, you know. So this is how we create that sense of self. And then when someone said that we are not, we feel that the sense of self being challenged. And then we got upset, you know, with other people that why you talk about me. And then so there's sometimes like why we concerned about how people think of us, how people look at us. It's again come from our sense of self, our ego, you know. Because we cannot control what other people said, you know. We cannot control, you know. That's why, and then sometimes that, you know, we keep thinking that, you know, the problem is outside. I remember I think last year, someone came to me. She said, oh, I feel very disappointed because someone that I know, after 1 year, still have no, the person also hasn't changed. It's still the same. Then I asked this person, has the perception of that person has changed? I said, if the perception towards that person hasn't changed, even the person has changed, you still think that the person hasn't changed, isn't it? Because if you have negativity towards that person and go through your mind, it becomes negative. You know, you will perceive, you know, you perceive it negative. I remember one of my friends, you know, that you know, I just, to me, it's a compliment. So I praise this person. Oh, you know, this person, you know, someone praise this person. Like, oh, okay. Oh, you have really good. Sometimes you do have really good idea. And then the person was so upset. She said, oh, only sometimes I have good idea. All the times I have no good idea. So you can never win, you know. From our sometimes like your compliment become an insult, you know. The thing that you're insulting the person, sometimes you cannot win, you know. Sometimes it's how the person perceives, the person perception, you know. Sometimes that's what you cannot control, you know. We can, you know, that's why sometimes like, it's okay how people think of us. If even people get angry with us, like the Buddha said in the Dhammapada, he said, live happily, not hating those who hate you. Isn't it? Other people can hate you, it's fine. It's their problem if they hate you, but we don't say, oh, because you hate me, if you hate me, I hate you even more than you hate me. Like, we're competing, you know. It's okay, isn't it? They say sometimes I don't really bother, you know, like, I tell you, I never, never look at all the comments, you know, of my thoughts, you know. I don't care. I don't look at it, you know. You can say anything, whatever you like, you know. You know, you like it, fine. You don't like it, and too bad. You don't like it. This is what you get, you know. So, this is sometimes like, because sometimes if you be very tired, it's really stressful. If you constantly, because again, come from the ego, the sense of self. It's really bothersome. Because we have no control over what other people, you know, talk about us. That's why it's to be able to really face oneself, to accept oneself, to forgive oneself. Sometimes not to carry those guilt, you know. You know, I remember many years ago, I just came to the monastery. I was still anagarikas, and then we had one volunteer used to come to help us in the monastery. Then of course after these volunteers come to help, of course they will have a cup of tea with, you know, we cannot say, oh, you come and help me, say, oh, okay, you finish your work, off you go, you know. Sometimes, of course, you have to, okay, maybe give, you know, offer you a cup of tea, you know. So normally, I will, you know, the abbot and the other nuns will, you know, will talk to this person because he's helping the monastery, and I always, and I offer tea, coffee, then I'll go off, you know, so I go to meditate. And then that time we haven't got good tea. I stay in the house. Of course, the outside when they talk, I can hear. I was sitting there meditating. I was so angry. I was so agitated. I said, oh, I, do you know that I'm meditating? You disturbing me, you know. I was so upset. And then on the other hand, I feel bad. I feel really, really bad. On one hand, I got so agitated and irritated because I want to meditate. I think that's disturbing me, you know. And on the other hand, I feel bad because of the volunteer come and help you, you know. They're really so kind. Then you feel bad that you have unwholesome thoughts towards that a kind person. And it takes me a while, you know. I'm really struggling, you know. And then eventually I really accepted that this is how I feel. It's okay. This is how I feel. You know, to recognize that, to acknowledge, and to accept that it's okay. I'm not enlightened. Of course, I have anger. Isn't it? I still have that, you know. They say sometimes people come to me, oh, I still have anger. I say, what do you expect? Unless you fully enlightened, or you at least, you're anagami, you know, a non-returner, then you have no anger. I say, of course, you have anger. So they said, but sometimes we're so concerned about, because we want to be perfect, want to be light, we want to be a good person. Sometimes the more we try to, we think that it's terrible that you get angry. And then the more you try to push away, the more you try to suppress that, actually you reinforce that. You make it even worse. Rather than you accepting that, okay, this is how I feel. So actually, the anger will subside, you know. And because when you get into habit, you know, you try to suppress it, you know, and you get into habit, and then sometimes when you get into habit, and then you started to identify yourself with that, I'm angry person, then if you're not angry, you're no longer you anymore. Truly, you know, sometimes people get energy from being angry. Because when you get upset, you have that. Because you know that I'm exist, I'm alive. And then you feel, whenever you feel bored, you know, so boring, and then you feel angry, then you feel good about yourself, you know. Because that kind of energy actually that drain your energy, it's like a borrowed energy. Then after that, you feel really tired and drained. It really drains your energy. They say that the kind of energy come from anger. That's why sometimes we learn to make peace, you know, learn to make peace with whatever experience it, it's okay, this is how I experience, because it comes and goes, it won't stay forever, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. But the problem is we identify this is me, as if that we own it, as if that this is me, you know. And then when we get into the habit, it's very difficult to change. It takes time to change. It's like become a default setting, you know. When you develop certain habits, and when you're in the same similar situation, you just automatically repeating. You're doing the same thing. You keep reinforce that. And I remember one of my brother's friends, you know, that he said his father complaining that he's having headache. And then take him to see doctors. So okay, nothing can cure, you know. Hair always having headache. Then to a point they're always complaining that his headache. Then the friend said, okay, one day he decided he take a few panadols, he grind in the powder. Then he wrap it very nicely. He said, this is very, very expensive, you know. So ask him to take it. And then after taking it, the father said, oh, I have no more pain. Sometimes psychology, because he said that it's very expensive, you know where, you know how he make up the story that he, you know, actually it's just Panadol. Then he said he recover. actually sometimes we ourselves manifest that, we reinforce that, we make we intensify, you know, our suffering, we intensify our pain, you know, that we are the one who create that, you know, we because we identify this is me and mine, we get attached to that. And sometimes people say, how come we attached to this unpleasant feelings? Because the mind is a conditioned thing, because we condition that way, you know. And then it's become the Buddha said that it's become a certain habitual pattern. It's become a pattern, you know. I know someone like the mother being depressed for many years because of she was married to Australia at the age of 16. Then her mother feel very bad that because she married her daughter at the age of 16 to Australia. She feel really bad. And then from since then, she having depression. So, but at the beginning, yes, and this lady married to her husband because it's matchmake, that actually was arranged marriage. And then she really, at the beginning, actually, because it's just arranged marriage, she said that it's not someone that she loved, you know. But eventually, that actually, because the husband is also a very good person, and then they have a good life, and then she's happy now, and both become Buddhists, and you know, they're both practicing and they're happy. Then the mother still depressed. Then they try to bring the mother to Australia to show them their life is, look, I have a happy family, I'm okay now. But it's very difficult. Her mother still depressed because it's become a habit. It's truly, it can't stop, you know, because if she's not depressed, it's no longer her. You know, they say sometimes this is how we develop that. It's become a default setting. It's because of being depressed for so many years. They say sometimes like, don't label yourself and don't identify yourself and don't try to own that label. You know, we don't have to live up to that label, especially now they put a lot of label, you know, when you diagnose with, you know, OCD, ADD. I remember there was someone told me this person working with children, they're having like ADD, you know, with children. And she said to me, you know, the children said to me that they said, do you know I'm having ADD? You know, as if that I'm having this, it's okay for me to behave in a certain way because you've been diagnosed to have this, you have this symptom. And sometimes we can create that symptom because we look at it, we keep thinking about it, you know. So that's why we learn to make peace and at ease with whatever we experience. It's okay because that won't stay. And even having depression come, depression go. Because it's just a state of mind, you know. Everything arises, pass away. They said, the Buddha said, impermanent, uncertain. They said no self. When the Buddha said non-self, it doesn't mean that you're not exist, you're not here. It's just that we misinterpret that, you know, we identify all the experience as me, this is me. So if I'm depressed, then I should depress for the rest of my life. You don't have to. We don't have to live up to that. The identity that we've been labeled, we've been identified ourselves with, we don't have to. But that's why the Buddha said that we create our own world. We manifest that. So that's why to be able to do that, the first thing you need to do is to practice present moment awareness, bring yourself, you know, to really bring yourself to this present moment. Because sometimes, you know how we started to manifest when the feelings arises, you start thoughts. You know, when you have the feelings, you follow by thoughts, isn't it? That is where you start to proliferate. You make up all the story about this feeling, and you create that. So that's why you keep thinking about it. You know, so that's why whatever you experience right now, you know. So, if you catch yourself that you get lashed into the thinking, you know, you bring your mind back to this present moment and make peace. It's okay. It's okay that I feel this way. Depressed is just repressed. It will come and go. And you feel agitated, irritated, whatever.
that you experience right now, it comes and goes. It won't stay there forever. You let it, you letting go is you letting thing be. You let it be, it's okay. You just sit there being with that. And it will subside by itself. We don't have to do anything. The problem is not to do anything. It's much more difficult, isn't it? We try to do this and do that to try to, you know, get rid of it. There's just sometimes you start, the more you start to understand yourself, then the more you can understand others. And you have more compassion towards yourself, and you have compassion towards others. You have kindness towards yourself. And because accepting oneself is being kind to oneself. You know, it's okay. Because what do we expect? If we have no defilements, we are not here. Because it's difficult to see ourselves because of, it's just like you're riding on a horse, you try to look for a horse. Because it's too close, you can't see. There's just sometimes when you recognize that, you know, there's just sometimes people feel bad about themselves when they see they have certain defilements, you know. I say it's okay. If you're able to see that you have certain underlying tendencies, certain habit pattern, I said sadhu, sadhu. Because you have to have the clarity in order to see yourself. If you don't have the clarity, you're unable to see. You know. And this is how learn to make peace with every moment, every situation you're in. Make peace with that. I remember some time ago, someone said to me that because of her parents having being quite ill, and then she had the fear, and then she said how to face death, and then she read all these books about how to face death, you know, say, oh, maybe you can touch a dead body and touch the feet, the feel the body of a dead, you know, the corpse, you know, you try to feel the body, the how it feels like, you know, and you contemplate on that, you know, then you, this is how you, you know, the book, you know, how she read those books, that how to overcome, how to face that. Then I told her, I said, if this is the way to face that, I said, those working in the funeral parlor, they all got enlightened. I said, if you be able to do that, live in present moment awareness, if you will be able to make peace with that every single moment, I said, you can face that, you can die anytime. Isn't it? Because this moment you're peaceful. You make peace with this moment. If you die this moment, you're fine. Isn't it? That is, it sounds easy, but not easy, but you need training. You know? So I said, if you be able to live in present moment awareness, you'll be able to make peace with this moment. I said, no worries. I said, forget about all the book, put it aside. I said, where can you find a body to touch? I mean, it's just like, not practical, you know, they read all these books like, not practical, isn't it? And I asked this person, where you can get a dead body to touch, to contemplate, you know? It's not easy, you know? I said, no, I said, you do, you know, bring your mind back to present moment awareness, you know, to make peace with that every single moment that you live, you know. They say sometimes that if you truly want to solve your problem in life, so to really to understand yourself first, it's not easy, but it's possible, it's doable. It just need a bit of time, you know. So the more you understand yourself, it's naturally you will become a more compassionate and kinder person, because you can understand others much better. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, the practice comes from inside. That's why we call inside. You look in, we don't look out. Because if you keep thinking that we think that our problem in life is outside there, we keep looking out, you know, then we can never solve our problems. And also, the more we understand ourselves, then we know where is our strength. Isn't it? We all want to be a helpful person. We want to be a kind person. Sometimes I know these people are so kind and so compassionate, and they try to help me. They leave a mess, and I still have to say thank you, you know. Because kindness have no have no wisdom, you know. And sometimes we have to know our strength, what we can help, isn't it? But if sometimes like it's important we know our strength. It's not that we are not kind, we are not helpful, but the more you understand yourself, you know where is your strength. What can you help, you know?
I remember there was a guy, you know, he passed away. He was reborn in the heavenly realm. And then St. Peter said to him, now we have a new rules, you know, that we go according to what the good things they have done. But I looked through your book, you know, that's, you know, the book of deeds, you know, that you haven't really done many good things and bad things, you know, you just like, you know, just neutral. And make me very difficult to decide because, you know, to where to put you. Then he said, can you remember that what are the good thing that you have done that is really, you know, that is amazing things that you have done? And he said, oh, I remember that on my way back, you know, I saw those bikey, he bullying someone, you know, and I go there, I pull my car aside, I went to my boots, I pulled up my cricket bat, you know, I go there, I talk to the person, say, leave this man alone. If not, you have to deal with me. So then St. Peter said, wow, it was so amazing, you know, that you can do that. Then he said, when did this happen? He said, 3 minutes ago. There's sometimes that, you know, we want to be helpful, we want to be kind, you know, but no wisdom, isn't it? There's sometimes that, because we don't know where is our strength. They said, the more we understand ourselves, then actually we know where is our strength, where we can help. Because sometimes good intention, but not necessary, you know, being helpful at all, not helpful at all. Sometimes good intention also not helpful at all, you know. So that's like to understand oneself, to face oneself is very difficult. So that's right. So who, since all this time we think that who we are, we think that we know who we are, actually we don't. So that's why if you truly want to solve your problems in life, the first thing, you have to face yourself, to understand yourself, and to conquer oneself is the most difficult thing. But if you be able to do that, I'll say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I offer this for Dhamma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So, any questions or comments? Oh, someone said, how can one be authentic and unique if one cannot be yourself? Because sometimes that what who we think we are, actually we are not seeing, you know. We all is our own identity, you know. It's not so difficult to explain this, you know. To be authentic and unique if one cannot be yourself. It's not that you cannot be yourself. We misinterpret that this is yourself. Even we have jealousy, we are still unique. Even we still have defilements, we are unique. Isn't it? Each one of us is unique. So it's just like, but the problem is we create something that is not us. You know, it's not that we are not here, we are not, you know, not, because that is not yourself, because sometimes we create that image and then we're not able to see within that where is our problem, where is our suffering coming from. We are unable to see our own suffering. I hope I can answer these questions. I try my best. What if your parents truly feel upset that you are not who they expect you to be and they blame you for the disappointment or openly preferring your siblings? This is very common. Isn't it? I know sometimes that they like to compare, you know. Yeah, not as good as so and so and so, you know. And sometimes they have no sibling, they compare with the neighbor. The neighbor children is better.
And but we just have just forgive them. You know, it's what can we do because they're our parents, and then that they don't see that, you know, that to have compassion towards them, that they have expectation because of the attachment. We identify, you know, that this is my children, me and mine. But if other people, whatever they do, we don't care, isn't it? So sometimes we think that we love our children, but actually we don't. But because of also the conditioning, sometimes the parents that, you know, they've been conditioned that way. So they decide to have what I can truly recommend, that, you know, just accept compassion, kindness and forgiveness. Just to forgive them. You know, it's okay. You know, they say, if other people blame us, it's fine, you know. As long as we know, you know. Because, like the Buddha said, the 8 worldly wind. You cannot experience only one. You know, it's not always have praise, isn't it? You will have blame, you know. So you can always have, you have pain, you have happiness, you have pain, you know. You don't always happy all the time, isn't it? Sometimes you have suffering, you know. That is part of life, that you become balanced, isn't it? You know. So we just, you know, that just to develop more gratitude, you know, gratitude towards our parents. At least they give us life, you know, that we develop that gratitude, contentment. That's, you know, even though, yes, maybe they're sometimes blaming us, get disappointments and openly, and they scold us, but we think of that at least they give us life to develop gratitude. If we're able to develop that gratitude, it's help, and to really learn to appreciate, you know. And, you know, that's not all your parents, isn't it? Yeah, they might scold you, or, you know, but why not you look at other that maybe they still, you know, love you. Maybe they just think that because sometimes they think that they love you, they think that they criticize you, they point out your mistakes because they love you, they think, you know, but it's okay, you know. So develop more gratitude. And from USA, how can we remember that we are nothing and nobody when we have to live our lives in a way to please others, especially our loved ones, and live up to the expectation? Yes, I mean, we are, because it's not that we keep remember that we are nothing and nobody. When we said we are nothing and nobody, it's not come from low self-esteem. It's come from that being equanimous, you know, we being equanimous, it's okay, you know, because sometimes because the attachment to the sense of self that creates lots of suffering for ourselves, you know, that we try to manipulate, we try to control, we try to control everyone. Of course, as long as we are not enlightened, we do certain extent that we do things, even though we being helpful, we still want people to praise us, to please others. It's fine, you know, because it's we are not there yet. We don't expect ourselves, like someone said to me that, oh, I'm worried about my father, and my father very negative, this and that. I said, it's okay. I said, why don't you look at your father being a good father, to look after your whole family, being an honest man, you know. But you don't try to compare him with the high end, you know, with those fully enlightened. But he's good enough, you know what I mean. So it's not that it's a gradual training. You're not there yet. Of course, as long as we are not enlightened, of course, to a certain extent, our kindness is not. We cannot compare to the compassion and the kindness of someone already enlightened, isn't it? And not on the high end, but, you know, it's of course we still have that. That's why to be able to recognize that, and we don't try to pretend that, not live in denial. So it's okay that we it's still it's still doing something good, isn't it? For example, you know, we try to please someone, we help someone, but it's still doing a good deed. It's still good. But of course, it's not that pure, but it's still good. It's just like the Buddha said, first of all, you have to refrain. It's a gradual training. You have to refrain from doing unskillful things, unwholesome things. So if you're doing something wholesome, even still with that sense of self that you try to please someone, it's okay. Then you cultivate good. Do more good deeds. Then you purify your mind. It's a gradual training. So it's okay. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't feel that way. We shouldn't please anyone. Because we are not there yet. We're not fully enlightened yet. You know, it's a gradual training. We are not that level yet. But the problem is people try to compare with that high end, you know. We all have to start at somewhere, isn't it? So sometimes you can see, as long as our practice that our wholesome state of mind increase, unwholesome state of mind decrease, and our level of happiness increase, then we are hitting the right direction. Of course, we are not completely eliminate all our defilements yet, but we can see that we're hitting the right direction. So it's okay that, you know, that we you know, to please others, you know, our loved one, it's fine, nothing wrong with that. You know, because we are not fully enlightened yet. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Venerable, for the very gratifying talk tonight. It was very, very helpful. I just love the way you've mentioned gratitude, because to me, gratitude, if I have gratitude for myself and for others, the less complaining I have and the less negativity I have. And I just find gratitude is such a you know, it helps me so much to not only see it in others, but also to find it in myself. Because often we have a very, very poor self-image. And, you know, the more gratitude we can find, the more grateful we can be. And other people can find us that way, more, you know, grateful. So thank you very much for tonight. Thank you.
Yes, and you know, the first time we get up in the morning, so we be grateful. If we cannot learn a lot, at least we learn a little. If we don't learn a little, at least we don't get sick, you know. So if it, you know, this is how we look at it. We being grateful, you know, that even you know, even if we get sick, or we're still alive, you know. So we feel blessed, you know, and we feel so grateful that the fact that, you know, we're still alive. So actually give you a lot of energy, and this is a positive energy, and give you a lot of joy. And that's why sometimes people don't know, we cannot get rid of that unwholesome qualities. We have to develop the wholesome qualities to weaken these unwholesome qualities, and we have to develop, and this only slowly eliminate. We cannot use willpower to try to get rid of it. We can't do that. So we have to develop certain qualities, so certain wholesome qualities. And then slowly when these wholesome qualities develop and become so strong, then this will overpowering the unwholesome qualities. And this is how it slowly... The Buddhists always say that it's a gradual training. It won't go away immediately. You know. So any more questions or comments? Okay. No more questions. Oh, yes. Yeah. Maybe you can. Okay.
From my experience, what I've found is actually moving towards in observation of those lower energy states, whether that's pain, anger, etc., seems to be a more transmuting process than spending all your time within the high energy states, because within our experience, we do come across suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And to try and move away from suffering at that point, I think leaves the suffering unsettled and left behind in our subconscious. I found the transmutation of spending time in observation of those energies to be more changing than the almost versus energy of trying to move towards a higher state.
Yeah, because actually it's a whole process.
We cannot, sometimes people try to bypass, you know, like shortcut, you know. You can't, you know. And there's no bad experience. Every single experience is an opportunity to learn and grow. But sometimes we tend to identify those experiences that we clinging to those pleasant, and then when we identify that when it's pleasant experience, we think we label as good. Unpleasant is we label as bad. But actually, is we don't label it. Pleasant is just pleasant. Unpleasant is unpleasant. But even pleasant feelings also won't stay. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, isn't it? Whether you suffer or you because no one is happy all the time. But if we be able to recognize that, we accept that, actually we become more and more at ease with life because we understand that this is part of life. Being human, being living, you know, in this samsara is this, you know, round cycle of rebirth. This is part of it. We cannot say I only want this, I don't want that, you know. So if we be able to accept that, we make peace with that, and it's actually unpleasant, it's just unpleasant. But those, because on top of those experience and feelings, we add on, like the Buddha said, that we add on suffering. Like the Buddha talked about the two arrows, you know. The Buddha said when a wise one being struck by an arrow, he knows that, okay, it's pain, and he just leave it. But he said a foolish one, you know, struck by an arrow, he will pick up another arrow, he will poke himself a few more times. This is what people do, you know. But if you just leave it there, yes, this is how you feel, and then that pain will go away, isn't it? It won't stay. So that's why sometimes lots of people think that when they listen or do this teaching, they expect that, you know, they can just, you know, from here, the shortcut, they jump to the high end. It's a process. You have to go through that. It's a whole life experience, you know. So there's no good or bad experience. It's just experience. But the problem is how we tend to labor and we try to own it. We try to manipulate. That is the add-on suffering for ourselves. Thank you for your questions. Good question. Is there any more questions or comments? Yes.
Hello. Yeah. In terms of the sense of self,
uh-huh.
And you can meet people that might be critical of your flaws, which you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
But if you meet people that are deliberately nasty, like in what they do and what they say,
mm-hmm.
to hurt people,
mm-hmm.
not to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
Okay. Like sometimes we meet people that are being nasty deliberately, that they want to harm us, isn't it? Sometimes like you develop that compassion towards them, because that when they said something, when you try to harm someone, actually that person actually they have lots of suffering. Actually ultimately they have the consequences of their own action. You know, because of that because there is a negativities. You know, negativities lead to negative emotion. And there's lots of suffering. So sometimes it's okay, because we don't have to be responsible for the other person's action. But if we get affected, we got upset with that person, we got angry with that person, then we have to be responsible for our action. So we don't have to suffer, you know, because of the other person, you know, like deliberate, you know, being nasty to us, say something that tried to hurt us. That's why sometimes to develop compassion, like to see the consequence of that person, so that so that we not allowing others people to control our own happiness. It's just that the Buddha mentioned in the Dhammapada I just now mentioned, is that live happily, not hating those who hate you. It's okay they hate us. They said something bad to us, it's fine, it's their problem. So next time, remember, you just remind yourself, none of my business. None of my business. And have compassion towards them. So is it answer your questions?
So any more questions, comments? No? Okay. So...
Swakatam bhagavata dhammo dhammam namasam Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sankho sankham